people, and places. With your hosts, Brad Vanjore, Matt DeAndrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
Hey, everybody, it is a brand new Shift and Steer. I think the dog days of February are here, right?
We got dogs in the studio.
Sure. Yes.
Sure. Well, I have Jeep's Bone on the floor, so I guess I'm in the running too.
Okay, well, we have Toby and Henry. They're in here visiting today. And yeah, they came in with Matt.
And their people.
And their people.
And
yes.
Their dog mom, Tammy Meyer.
Tammy?
She's, I don't know what your job is in the automotive industry, but you have some automotive industry experience other than riding around with us in press cars.
Dog friendliness, dog car reviewer friendliness. Dog mom car reviewer,
a marketing analyst and a number cruncher in the number space. But you're welcome to Shift and Steer and jump in on anything that you think.
Doesn't that just mean she looks at a bunch of stuff, goes through all the sheets, and then goes, heck, 52%.
Basically, yeah.
And then goes, sorry, you can't buy that right now.
She has to,
sorry, Matt, you can't buy that.
Yeah. Well, she's not my financial analyst.
We just got done doing a Man Seeks Adventure right before this, and we were going through percentages, and yeah. You can appreciate this.
Alcohol percentages?
It was Bacardi's 2020 trends report.
Oh.
So we went through all this stuff. And then at the end, it said, I brought up the point that it said, and they predict that there was this super high percentage that dark rum, bartenders say that dark rum will be the most, used in the industry this year. And I said, yeah, they say that they sent out 500 people to 1,000 bars. And you think they walk in, they're wearing the Bacardi hat, the Bacardi shirt. They got a case of Bacardi sitting there, and they go, hey, we just got a few questions for you, and then we're going to give you this case of rum, you know?
Right. It's like, right.
What do you think is going to be the biggest? They're not going to say vodka.
Yeah, right. The distributor walks in and says, there's a little bonus in it for you if you push this. Look, it's all business.
Yeah.
Everything's a business.
It's like this. It's you see this case right here? We're going to leave that for you. And they go, well, we've been seeing a real uptick on vodka. And they start pulling that case away a little bit. And they go,
yeah,
but,
I'm not seeing it.
But no, not close to what, but it's the numbers that can be manipulated.
Yeah.
You know, your numbers are one of those things that can really be manipulated by
your language, by your speech.
Hey, I just did two Man Seeks Adventures.
Oh, so he's a little tipsy.
We had a stumbling cowboy in one, and a drink for a big party. I can't remember the name.
Yeah.
All
right,
let's just say it was an alcoholic beverage. But numbers can be manipulated by. When you go in to buy a vehicle at a dealership.
That's right. They can. Well, there's a few things we could talk about when it comes to that. First of all, I've got a lot of opinions about dealer markups. And I don't really have a lot of opinions. I just have one opinion.
You hate it?
It's dumb. Don't pay the dealer markup. Maybe there's a few exceptions to the rule on some crazy supercars or some kind of list or something you get on, but that's not what we're really talking about. We're talking about the dealers are just getting a little too, I don't know, a little too comfortable with these ridiculous dealer markups. Now, it's not just their fault as well. We were driving here today, and we were looking at these cars in the carpool lane, and we see whatever the blue car at the front of the pack going slow, and Corolla says this all the time. He goes, "I don't blame the blue car for going slow. I blame the guy right behind him not beeping and honking and flashing his lights and telling him to move faster, right? Otherwise, that guy's just going to be oblivious and just keep going.
He didn't want to get shot.
Well, in this town, maybe. But the dealer markups, dealers can just throw on any number that they want. I don't think that's fair that they can do that. But Then there's the, you know, the asshole customers that have to go that go and actually pay it. For what? What are you trying
to get?
They got to
be the first one on their block, man. You know, that's what it's all about.
I just don't get it. And we just spent a week driving the Jeep Gladiator, and it's a very utilitarian vehicle. It's kind of cool, but you know, maybe not. Yeah, it is cool, but it's maybe.
Yeah, but if they put a $500 markup on it so you can get it and be the first one in your neighborhood, that's, I mean, it's not great, but it's probably reasonable.
Oh, no. They were asking 10,000 over sticker on this thing.
No. And that's crazy.
The fully loaded Rubicon that we drove was $58,000.
Are you sure that wasn't for the gold plated edition?
No, it wasn't. Like, Aaron, where you live, that Rubicon would be badass, right? Like, it has very functional.
It makes all the sense in the world. Yeah.
To cruise the mean streets of L.A., it doesn't really make that much sense unless you're really taking it out on the weekends and doing stuff for it. And $10,000 dealer markup on a vehicle that is, I don't know, 40 to 60 grand, maybe 40 to 58 grand. That's a huge percentage.
That's way too
much. Huge jump. And I'm sure some
people
paid
it. But it only works if people pay it.
I'm sure some people paid it, and where are we now? It's only been out a couple of years. They're having trouble selling them, and now Jeep is offering.
It's been out a couple of years, has it? Like a year?
Maybe
it?
A year? Yeah.
No,
well, yeah.
No, it came out. Yeah.
Two years? 1 year?
I think a year.
It's barely been a year.
Yeah, at the last.
I can't see.
LA Auto Show, we saw a bunch of them, like, modified by by Mopar, you know, Mopar's catalog, and I don't know. So now Jeep is offering a $9,000 incentive.
Well, now's the time to buy it.
So now I'm wondering, like, do you go into the dealer and be like, sticker price, $58,000, factory incentive, $9,000, brings it down to $49,000, plus dealer markup, $10,000.
Exactly.
It's like, is that what we're doing now? Or no? No, because
maybe we should start a consumer downgrade. You know, right? I'm giving it a consumer downgrade of $9,000, and then I'll buy it.
Guys, even some of the coolest cars that one of our favorite cars, Brad, not Aaron, because Aaron lives far and he doesn't get to drive cool cars, but is the McLaren 720S.
Yes. They don't allow those up there.
Did you see the red 720S on Bring a Trailer?
I didn't.
Fully loaded, great options, $346,000 sticker price, and it failed to get a buyer on Bring a Trailer, didn't meet the reserve. But the market shows what the market will pay.
Yeah, what was it up to?
$220,000.
Wow.
It's basically new. It had a few thousand miles on it. I don't know, 4,000 miles or something like that on it. And 100,000, over 100,000 below sticker on those cars. Because some cars just don't hold their value.
I guess it's one of those cars you want to be the second owner of.
Pretty much.
But I don't know. Do you guys got thoughts about dealer markups?
Oh, I love them. Mm-hmm. I think they're fantastic as long as I don't have to pay them.
When's it worth to pay it?
No. The only time.
They're a good route for comedy.
No, it's never. I don't think it's ever any good. I think, you know, we say the market will bear what the market will bear. But when it's just a generic across the board, you know. If somebody goes in, negotiates a price, it's one thing. But just to have it right there, it's a $30,000, extra. That's ridiculous. And we've seen it on some of these cars. The Ford Mustang GT350. Those had a big markup when they came out. And
Raptors are still getting $10,000.
They are?
Sticker. Yeah. I thought you could just go buy one.
Yeah, I thought so.
Right?
But you can't?
No.
Wow.
A dealer told me the other day, a friend was looking to buy one, and they said, they're like, yeah, no, we're still getting $10,000 over. I was like, why? Who's paying that?
Yeah.
Is there a shortage?
There's
there
not.
A shortage of Raptors? Have you been to any Ford dealer around here that didn't have a Raptor?
It sounds like you find another Ford dealer that's selling them, you know, because that's got to be a.
That's it.
Yeah, just somebody who, you know, but. I think it's just greedy dealers. And the thing is that dealers, I mean, let's face it, everybody thinks they're just making a ton of money. Dealers don't make any money on cars very often. So when they can make it on one or two models, they're trying to make as much as they can to make up for all the Ford Fiestas and the, you know, stuff like that, you know?
I know, but as a buyer, you're going to go spend $10,000 over sticker on something like a Gladiator, which is probably one of the most the Jeep is probably the most modified vehicle on the planet. Think of what you could have done to your Jeep for $10,000.
Oh, I know. I know.
Right?
Could have bought a set of Bond Speed wheels. What do you mean?
Yeah. You could have bought one wheel.
I've had like five guys get a hold of me and go, hey, man, how much are those F-150 wheels? Like, and I try to give them the price, and they're like, I never hear from them.
Yeah. Well, that's how I keep them unique to my truck
that's
only.
That's why you have the only set.
The only set. I was
well, they think that they're like a cast wheel. They're not like a
they're
cast
not a
wheel.
Cast
no.
wheel.
There's
no.
hours and hours. 6 hours of machining on every center. Doesn't include polishing.
Oh, that's before the R&D to scan it and make the CAD software. And
driving out to Riverside twice to pick up sample wheels.
Well, that's on you.
I know, but still. It's...
That one's on you. But then it has to go to polish, and then it has to go to the powder coater, right? And,
yeah.
Yeah, plus, and if you want center caps, that's another four-month wait.
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, just want to bring that up on the air. Still waiting for center caps. Supposed to have them for SEMA. Maybe we'll get them for SEMA 21.
I'm waiting for Edsel Ford to sign them.
To so, sign them?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a little special thing for you. Now you ruined it. I'm just going to give it. I'm just going to get him done for you without the signature. Now.
Fine. So, he was going to sign the inside anyway.
Speaking of waiting around and funny ha-ha stories, I was so excited on Tuesday. I was, if you would have talked to me on Tuesday.
Taco Tuesday is exciting.
It is. It's also the day that they called me and told me that sunroof for my Yukon.
Oh, yeah. How's that going?
It had finally arrived.
You've been waiting for that about as long as I've been waiting for center caps.
Maybe a little longer. maybe a little longer. And so I made an appointment for Friday to take it down. I was going to have a new headliner put in. I was going to have them recover the two front seats and put in a brand new sunroof with
Now, hold
all
on.
Of this.
Just back up a little bit because didn't you already have an appointment and they had like the wrong
They had the
on?
Wrong one. Yeah. So
after waiting already.
Just as a real quick one, if you've been looking on the news, there is a sunroof company, OEM for Bentley, Volkswagen, Mercedes, and the Yukon, that they had a problem with their glue where. After a few years, the glue would fail, and the air would get under it, and it'd just suck them right off. And that's what happened to mine going up the freeway at 80 miles an hour, and it just went flying off. And so they said, oh, no problem.
That's some James Bond shit right there,
yeah,
dude,
I know.
By the way. Hit the ejection button.
I was just happy it didn't hit anybody's car. I looked in the rear view mirror, and I'm watching it like glide through the air, and I'm thinking, oh, God, who's going to hit? And it just shattered.
And if it does hit, do I keep driving?
Exactly.
Do I stop? What do I do?
Did they see my license plate?
Yeah. Did they get it or not?
Do they even know what car it came off of?
Yeah.
So, but so it was cool. The sunroof company was great. They said, hey, we will go ahead and warranty this for you. We'll send it over to your sunroof shop, and they'll put it in and everything. I'm like, okay, great. Well, they didn't have it in stock. Mm-hmm. So I had to wait for them to make it. Then finally it shows up, and it was the wrong one. It was for a different year. And I'm like, they go, okay, well, we'll get you another one. Well, now I've been waiting, and I don't know if you know, but driving around with a big hole in your roof the size of a
your makeshift thing that you put together.
Well,
you got some wood. And
No. I made a really nice sheet metal cover for it that was airtight. If you look at it from the inside, it's ugly, but I put strengthening ribs in it and everything.
Yeah.
And this was the other reason, because last Sunday, coming home from the drag races, that'd been on for a couple months, and it was working perfect, didn't leak, didn't have any air noise, and all of a sudden, I hear this, pop, 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 and the air got under it, and it just kind of like, bonk, gave it a hair lip, bent it right in the middle, and now it's like,
Is it scratching the paint up there?
No, it's got all rubber. I put insulation and everything. But so now that shot, and I was like, okay, great. When they called me, I was like, awesome. Well,
yeah, perfect timing.
My Thursday afternoon, they call me and they go, I thought they were calling to like confirm my appointment for Friday. And she calls and she goes, Mr. Fancho, we have a little problem. I go, what's that? And she goes, we opened up the sunroof in preparation to put it on your truck, and it appears it was cracked in shipping. I'm like, are you serious? And she goes, oh, we've already called them. They're going to be able to get another one right out. And I'm like, What's right out? Yeah. She goes, well, it comes from the East Coast. And, you know, so I'm another 2 weeks at least before I see a new sunroof. Oh.
The weird part is when she said it's coming from New York by boat.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't understand.
As long as she didn't say it's coming from China.
Yeah.
You know, because nothing's coming from China.
No, no. And you're going to have the coronavirus sunroof.
Well, I am going to a place in Corona to have my sunroof fixed.
She's sending it out of New York by boat. Down past Florida, through the Panama Canal, up past Mexico, and then you got to go pick it up at the port in Long Beach.
Exactly. hopefully it'll be here so that I have a new sunroof that works, a new headliner.
When do you think it's going to happen?
Brand new leather on my front seats.
I heard it's going to rain on Thursday.
Well, then Brad's getting wet. So you should see. Let me tell you something. Headliners disintegrate really fast.
Oh, my God, yeah.
I never realized when a little bit of moisture gets in there, the headliner is just disintegrating.
Yeah, you can't do anything with it. That foam type one, it's not
that's
like
what
anything
it is.
Woven anymore. It's a foam, and it's like any, like Tomb Raider movie where you see the skeleton and then you go to touch it and it just goes to dust.
Dust.
It's that. That's what they make headliners out of. Dead people.
It's like any car that's been stored in the Arizona desert. You touch the plastic and it turns to dust.
Oh, yeah. Aaron, I think you've had Volkswagens in the past, like modern. Maybe your daughter drives like the Bug or something. But damn plastic on the inside. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh,
it gets all sticky.
Oh,
it's like gummy. They spray
it. All sticky. Yeah.
They spray the interior with like kind of that soft touch plastic paint, and then when it peels, you can't touch it up because it's thick. It's almost like Plastidip kind of stuff.
You have to use acetone. Yeah.
And then it gets sticky, and everything in your car, every time you touch the windows, you're like, why is it all sticky? And, you know, you run through it in your head of all the different reasons why a used car would be sticky, and then you're like... And then you clean it. There's nothing that can clean it to, like, get the stickiness off. You have to strip all that stupid plastic off.
Ferrari had a problem with that. All of their OEM parts from the 80s that had that soft touch on them, they were shipping them out, and people were getting them going, hey, because the chemical had started breaking down. And then so there was some guy in Florida, I read this whole article about it, who was buying the new OEM parts, refinishing them, and sending them back out in the same OEM box. And Ferrari, of course, what do? They sued the guy.
Yeah.
And he's like, wait a minute, I bought the parts. I refinished them and just sent them back out in the same box. I didn't say they were new. I said they were OEM parts refinished. And, you know, I mean, it was just like one of these.
Yeah.
It was a really interesting thing because they didn't offer it. They were sending out parts that were basically defective.
Yeah. That's interesting. It's not a bad little business model for
the
guy. I don't think he was doing anything wrong. He wasn't being deceptive about
it.
Ferrari also had the issue with the leather dashes shrinking, and then
that
would always be, and it's always right underneath the windshield, like right at the
$6,000.
Yeah,
bucks
I was just
going to
say it's
got to
be
$6,000 or $7,000
to get it fixed. The other Volkswagen thing, for some reason, is the foam. I believe it's the foam in the seats, and after a while, you know, like you know, you get a Jetta from the 90s, maybe 2001. It smells like crayons.
They use old SpongeBob SquarePants.
Yeah. SpongeBob is
they
limbs.
Mold them. They mold
they
them,
make
yeah.
his limbs. If you take the leather covering off, it's a full-on SpongeBob in there. But he smells like crayons.
He does.
Yeah.
You know what? Sabina's little VW smells like crayons.
It's SpongeBob SquarePants.
I think it's the foam.
It totally
in the seats.
Smells like crayons in her car. It's hilarious. And someone told me that they do. And I'm like, no, someone put a crayon down the heater vent or something. They're like, I've been in tons of these and they smell like crayons. I'm like, how the hell can they smell like crayons?
Yeah.
That's
it's a licensing thing with crayons. It's making
it Crayola.
Yeah.
It's the Crayola edition.
The Crayola edition.
The Crayola edition.
It's Crayola beige, ivory to everybody else.
No, didn't they call that sand in the 100 crayon box? It was like sand.
Oh, yeah.
They got a little creative with some of those.
Sand has more blue in it. sand has more blue in it.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to tell you guys about Geico. I don't really have.
Can you tell me about Geico?
Yeah, I'm going to make it up. I'm going to make it up on the
fly. No, I want to know about Geico.
Because I don't have the read.
Is that G-E-I-C-O?
I think it goes something like this.
G-E-I-C-O, G-E-I-C-O, Geico was his name.
Oh, I'm in a sweat now, Matt.
Brad's getting delirious. He's been sniffing crayons all morning.
No, I've been doing Man 6 Adventure. And
having morning cocktails.
It's cocktail time somewhere, and we had a Sazerac.
Yeah.
And a stumbling cowboy.
Wait, is Sazerac that box in the Avengers movie that has all the power?
No, that's not it. No.
Something like that.
Sazerac, I said on our show that it sounds like something where they go, could promote bloody stool and,
promote it?
Over urination in some people.
Come on, bloody stool.
Check
you
with
do
your
better.
Doctor. Sazerac.
Aaron, do you own a home? Do you rent a home?
Are
you home alone?
I bet it's a lot of work, especially where you are. Yeah. It's a lot of work where you are, right?
Yep. Every winter, every spring, I'm like, oh, man, going through it right now. Just took all the pictures, made a lot of red circles.
I'm glad you said that, Aaron.
What's your point, Matt?
I'll tell you what's not a lot of work. Bundling your insurance with Geico. You can bundle your home and auto insurance with Geico. Just go to geico.com and get a quote. It's super easy. It's Geico easy. It's super fast. So just go to geico.com and bundle your home and auto insurance. Aaron.
You go, Geico.
I might have to, Matt.
Worst ad read ever.
They're going to be, didn't we give them an ad read?
Yeah, they're like, what?
Either that or somebody on Madison Avenue is going to go, we need those guys in our creative shop.
Producer Kayla's going to be like, I don't know what the hell just happened.
I think my insurance company's going to drop me after this one I put in there.
Right? We got more numbers to talk about. Did you get a chance to drive the Honda Civic Type R?
I did not.
I drove it. I don't remember if I drove the white one or the black one. But cool little boy racer kind of.
I saw one yesterday. It had rear mud flaps on it.
Yeah.
Had yellow headlights.
Ooh.
It was lowered.
Yeah.
He had the whole rally thing going on.
Like a new one? Like the new
Type R? It was brand new, yeah.
Do you know how many of those they sold already?
I would say they sold in excess of 5, but fewer than 100,000.
What do you think, numbers girl? How many Honda Civic Type R's do you think are this new generation? How many think are out there?
10,000.
She was in on the
cheater.
She was
they
in
sold
on the 10,000
Honda Civic Type R's.
You were supposed to narrow it down a little and go, well, more than 100 and less than 20,000.
Solid round number.
Your answer is not even funny. We're kind of in the mid of the sort of the mid cycle life of the new Type R, and
It's middle aged now.
It's middle aged, and Honda is saying, "Hey, it's doing really well. Thank you for buying this wonderful car with a manual transmission that you can't get in 90% of the vehicles.
Can you get a 7-speed in a Porsche now?
Yes, and I think can you get it in the Corvette?
I don't know.
Ooh, I got a Corvette rumor to tell you, by the way.
Really?
So I
can tell you something that I shouldn't say on the air.
Okay.
But I stole an early Porsche yesterday.
Did you?
I did. I left it in downtown L.A.
Oh, did you steal
it? Well, I left it in Beverly Hills,
out of the
actually.
Beverly Hills garage?
Yeah.
By the way, Brad's talking about Spike Ferriston's Porsche that got stolen out of
went
Beverly
to lunch.
And out of a Beverly Hills garage.
Yeah.
From Spike's Car Radio or... Our colleagues over on Podcast One and his co-host, the lawyer Zuckerman.
Yeah,
they have a bunch of they're partners on a bunch of cars, and somebody stole their Porsche. That's a shitty move,
move.
Stole it out of like a Beverly Hills parking garage,
and he put it all over Facebook and on Instagram.
Yeah, everybody's getting behind it too.
Well, they found it.
Did they?
Yeah, they found it this morning.
Oh, I didn't. I
Yeah.
I was drinking this morning.
It was. Well, so was I. But
so you're not really sure if they found it.
No, no. It was on Instagram. It said, found, thanks to the Beverly Hills Police Department. I guess they'd been drinking. They just left it somewhere.
It's probably at it the was Beverly at Hills the, Police Department.
It was at the Beverly Hills Hotel. They were at the Polo Lounge. Forgot they drove it.
Yeah, that's probably what it was. It's stolen? No, just misparked. Goddamn parking garages exactly. In L.A., I tell you. That's why the new ones have the trackers.
I told you I didn't meet you here.
Yeah. Anyway, Honda Civic, this is what we're doing. We're getting a little bit of an upgrade, a little bit of freshening up. And a lot of people were kind of complaining about some of the big overly fake grills on the front. So they're changing that look a little bit. And then they're saying the fake grills were all a little too high, so they kind of changed things up. They're doing some revisions on the suspension, I believe, where the sport mode will be sportier, and the comfort mode will be a little bit more comfortable. And then when they redid the fake grills, they were able to create more real grill. So
it's got more gold.
So now it's got more gold.
Yeah,
it's got better cooling going into the turbo. And intercoolers and stuff, which means
they're saving on all that black egg crate.
That's right. And yes. Now you can hot lap this thing a little bit more and probably add a little bit more timing, a little more boost for you boost people. It seems it's looking good. It's looking good. I like this.
Boostio.
I like this blue color that I'd show you, but you don't have your jeweler's loop on.
Is it?
So you
is
can't
it that,
see the tiny
is that
photo.
Carbonatic blue?
No, it's kind of.
Oh, it's like a Ford blue.
Yeah, it's like a Ford blue. Probably don't say that, being that you just had Dave Merrick in here. It's probably Dave Merrick blue.
Here, let me take a quick look at it, and I'll tell you. That is.
But it looks a little bit. There you go. He's got his jeweler's loop.
When I look through my loop, I see that there is a 5% more magenta than the Ford blue.
Oh, so it's not the full grabber blue? Is it grabber blue? I don't know. But I don't know. I think, Aaron, you need one of these. How's a front-wheel drive sports car work up where you live?
You know, I've had a couple front-wheel drive cars up here. They're great until the wintertime. And if they're light in the back, forget about it. You got to put a couple sacks of ice melt in there or something. Otherwise you're just sliding or spinning right through the intersection.
Okay.
So what's the
question?
They have any performance specs on this?
I don't think there's any change in horsepower. But they're saying that, they sold 10,000. There's still a little bit of a waiting list. And
what's the dealer markup on them?
Yeah, I'm not even going to get into that. Punch those dealers right in the beanbag.
Punch them in the throat, man.
Yeah.
We don't promote that, by the way.
Yeah, don't punch dealers
in
the throat.
Yeah, we just
don't pay the markup. You don't have to punch them in the throat. You don't have to not punch them in the throat. But I'm just saying.
That could be my Uncle Philip that gets punched in the throat, man.
There's a rumor going around. The interwebs.
I've heard this rumor.
The World Wide Web.
The one about the coronavirus, that it's actually here and the CDC hasn't said anything? Or are you talking about the one that aliens actually are among us?
B?
Speaking of aliens, have you guys been looking to bring a trailer lately?
Yes, we were just talking about the
Why, McLaren. Was there a spaceship on there?
Pretty much. Have you seen the 1988 Italian-designed Aztec?
No, nobody's seen
it. It's that weird prototype thing with an Audi motor. It looks like it's a Sid Mead looking car, man. I should fix.
Not seen that one. No, not seen that one.
I did see the Spyker.
God, I just emailed it to you, Brad and Matt. I just emailed it to you.
I can't look at anything while we're on the air because somebody's talking on my phone.
All right, but this thing is really, really cool, and I wish you guys had seen it so we could talk about it. It's literally right out of Blade Runner.
What's the Spyker? How much did the Spyker go for?
A lot. I think it's still up there. It was like $220,000 or something for the Spyker.
Oh, man.
They have a little bit of billet
on
those.
Well, of course, I'm watching, Defenders and, stuff on there.
This Aztec is wild. Yeah. First of all, no one's going to Isn't that cool? No one's going to Google it because it says Aztec, and you're going to think Pontiac.
That's exactly what came to my mind.
Exactly.
Oh, wow.
Exactly.
It's got like, big double bubble.
Isn't that cool, Matt? Yeah. Isn't that thing badass? But look at the craftsmanship for like a, you know, I think this was one of 25 production cars or something that I think they made. But
it's got twin bubbles like a Batmobile, a little like, what's the Orbitron?
Yeah, it's
nicely made though. Like if you go through the photos, it's the craftsmanship is kind of there for this type of thing. You know, we've seen much less quality of craftsmanship. This thing has held up at 414 miles, but I mean, it's held up pretty well after all those years.
Does it smell like crayons?
Weirdo car,
man. It's a really weirdo car. You know,
I love that.
It looks like something out of an 80s like futuristic movie. Here comes the mayor in his car. You know, I mean, because it's got the weird stuff on the side.
If I had too much money, I would totally be bidding on this right now.
It doesn't surprise me,
man.
Because
it looks super reliable.
you'd be inside when it catches on fire, and just like. Told Barry Weiss with his bubble top car, I go, Barry, where's the emergency release? And he goes, what are you talking about? And I go, well, the emergency release, because you got like hydraulic rams holding this down and pushing it up.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, it didn't have one. And I go, well, what if the thing caught on fire in the, I mean, there's no way, because it had no door handles either. You
It'd
know?
Be like a Tesla.
And I go,
oh, God.
And I go,
with
and
the
I
electric go, door handles
goes,
don't open.
Brad, I never thought about that.
No, of course you did.
After lunch, he went and had emergency releases put on the door. Because I told him, I said, we'd be inside it going like, you know, help!
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's got
the looks of one of those.
The side of this thing looks like RoboCop's leg.
Totally. It looks like RoboCop. It totally does. I love those weird little... the little design details with the Audi logo and the little list of options, 212, 211 by number, and the big fat plush voluptuous seats. And but what is that dash pod from? That dash pod is from
out of a Fiero.
I don't know.
No, the Fiero was rectangular. It was two.
No, I didn't see the dash. I just the back of the car looks like it's based on a Fiero. The front looks like a 80s Corvette.
It's a total 80s movie. It's got, like, switches on the center console. Look like something out of Kit from Knight Rider.
But totally.
It looks like it's out of the bad guy in a James Bond movie or something.
I'm telling you, when the door is closed and you get a profile view, it looks like RoboCop's leg with the gun coming out of it. Like it's hidden in there.
It totally does.
And...
Man, that would be freaky. Did you notice the headsets in the trunk? Because you obviously can't talk to your pastor when the doors are closed.
Well, these days we just use Apple AirPods. That's how we walk around the
what
airport.
What do you mean? You just text.
Walk around the airport so people won't talk to you.
But hey, anyway, I thought you just texted. I thought you were going to turn right at the next light.
It's already up at 75.
Well, if you look at it, the passenger pod looks a lot like the driver's pod minus the steering wheel. And at first I thought, it's right-hand drive? And I saw the steering wheel, and I'm like, oh. It's like, I thought you could drive both either side first. It's a very confusing and odd car. But if you're interested, it's got 9 more days, so check it out. Go to Bring a Trailer, and look at this crazy thing. It's better.
I only go to Bring a Trailer to buy Defenders.
Yeah. You should do that.
Yeah,
you should get one of those.
There's another Isetta. It's already up to 20 grand. I'm telling you, man. I've got a gold mine.
Yeah, but I saw that one. It has floorboards.
Yeah.
Well, come on. I can cut plywood like anybody else.
No, have you seen a Defender on Bring a Trailer? Because, I need a new guitar.
Well, you know, the market on them is really funny because they're all over the place because, you know, the NAS ones are still a fortune. That the 80s are, or excuse me, the 90s are going for, you know, 60 to 80, 100 grand. The 110s are up over 100 grand to 250,000. But we're being flooded by all these 25-year-old, you know, new law diesels. And they have to come in, like, so specific to how they were born. They can't be modified much at all. They're really strict on that. So they're right-hand drive, 200, 300 TDIs. But they all seem to be coming through Florida and just getting pimped out with diamond stitch this, leather covered that. And so the market's really goofy on them. But there's some cool looking rides out there.
What's the Defender? Like, what's the one to get? Because I don't follow them that much, and they're very confusing, because now I'm starting to see, like, Toyota Land Cruisers pop up at all the high-end auctions.
Exactly.
And then I'll ask somebody, and they'll be like, oh, that's not the good one. I'm like, it looks all the others. Like, no, that one's crap. Don't touch that one.
Okay. Exactly. If you're going classic, Series 2, all day long. Series 3 had the lights on the outside, a little bit more, I don't want to say modern dash, but a little bit updated dash and internal. But I don't think they're as desirable. Series 2 A's are fantastic. Series 1, they're so bare bones, you can't really drive them much. But in the quote-unquote modern Defenders, it's the NAS. You know, they only made them in the mid-90s. The 110s are brought in for 1 year. I think that the D90s were brought in for 3 or 4, but those things are a fortune. They've all got, 100,000 plus miles on them. I think they're kind of in the max zone for pricing, but they're cool. But if you want to collect some of this new generation coming in, I'm a fan of those four cab pickup trucks, and the ultimate version of that is the 130, which has the 130 wheelbase, and it's a four-door truck cab with a separate bed on it. So it's a long bed, and they are badass. And they're going for good money, and they're much harder to find. Because a lot of these, okay, so since the James Bond movie where James Bond is driving that Defender with the rope on the front and the four-door cab truck.
No, that's a Lara Croft movie.
Yeah.
I think it was Lara Croft Defender. Wait, am I right? Yeah.
Those are what everybody's reconstructing. So a lot of those are coming in from the popularity of that film. And those are pretty cool. But that's the look that's going on right now. So the wagons are kind of sitting back, and the small D90s are sitting back. And those high cab trucks are the ones that everybody wants. I'm loving those things too, though, I have to say.
There was online I ran across a I can't remember which tuner it was. Was it Brabus or somebody? But somebody has them online, one of those European tuning houses, and they have like something like 300 of them that they got from the Swedish Army, and they have them, and you can buy them just how they are, or you can order these packages, like you were saying, Aaron, where they're doing really nice interiors. They're basically taking that basic Army one.
Yeah.
They're insulating it. They're basically, I call it, they're doing the pro touring thing, where they're.
Funny you mentioned that, because our buddy Tyson Sullivan's been on the show a few times. He and his dad and his brother-in-law, we all went out to Utah whenever. To get a Humvee built. And that's what those guys out there, it's a company called Plan B, and they get military Humvees, the actual Humvees, not the Schwarzenegger H1 and not the Hummer.
Right. They strip them down.
They get the actual military Humvee, and they bring it down, and they can do any package you want, but you bring it down, and you watch the movies, like The Hurt Locker and stuff. You guys are rolling around in a Humvee with headphones and microphones on. We are sitting here in the studio.
Totally, yeah.
Because it's loud.
You can't hear anything.
It's so loud. And
it's a helicopter concert.
Yeah,
totally.
So they go through and they put the sound deadener and they put carpets and put a stereo and stuff in it. And the one that Tyson and his dad have commissioned is the first one that they're doing where they completely fabricated a whole new dash because they want to put air conditioning in it. And the dash, there's not enough room underneath it.
Right.
There's no depth. There's no, there's no like room between the
Everything about the military ones was maximum capacity inside, because those guys wear all their gear.
So they're building a whole thing in there, and it's going to mount the stereo and speakers and air conditioning units and stuff. And it's actually so big on the inside, there isn't really a good aftermarket air conditioning unit sufficient enough to do that. I think they have to either port something
they
out
put
of,
a one ton in the back from somebody's house.
Yeah,
and, yeah,
they're gonna have to pull like whatever they pull out of like your Tahoe or something. But all the aftermarket companies, there's aftermarket companies we've all worked with before.
Yeah, Vintage Air,
and, Hot Rod Era. All those guys, all their stuff is good and it works fine, but none of them were meant for something like you couldn't buy a Vintage Air unit and stick it in your Tahoe.
Right.
Like you'd have to put three of them in there. Right. And they've tried them all and they just don't cool a Humvee. Like, and you can do the sound deadening and all the hush mat and stuff, and you can get it with the foil back and the heat protector and all that stuff. It's still tough.
You just put a divider like a limousine right behind the seats and then you're good.
Yeah. You open the hood, you see three AC compressors all strung into each other. You're like, what are you doing?
You mentioned my Yukon, and I've never researched it. I've never looked into it. But I still don't know how the air conditioner works in that because it has two separate air conditioners. I ordered the optional rear area, which was a waste
of
money.
One compressor?
And there's only one compressor, and it runs totally independent. If I turn the front one off, I can turn the rear one on. So and it doesn't take away from the front one when I turn the rear one on, because the only time I turn the rear one on is when my dog's back there, and it's hot. And
so one AC compressor, then it somehow splits to two completely under-dash units, if you will.
Yeah.
Maybe there's one in the back, one in the front, but two under-dash units, two blower motors.
So if somebody knows,
separate
let us know.
Separate sets of vents, and I guess. One compressor, one big
unless that other
compressor
isn't a Paxton supercharger.
No, it's not.
Oh, you're thinking of that.
Yeah, you should know that.
No, it only has one. If somebody's a mechanic on these, let us know, because I'd be interested. Because I did waste a lot of money on that. I just checked off all the boxes. And, the rear third seat.
Yeah.
It sits in my warehouse, wrapped in plastic. I've never had it in.
Yeah. And by the way, if anybody wants to buy a brand new third row seat from a big block Tahoe from 1990.
And the
what year is that truck?
91.
Yeah, I was so close.
I know. And the
91 was a better year. And it's aged well.
the rear compressor or the rear air I never have anybody back there. If you had kids, I guess you'd have back there, but...
If you guys have a 91 Tahoe, Brad will sell you a perfectly good condition third row seat and a cracked sunroof.
Well, the cracked sunroof they can have. Yeah. Well, no, they're probably not going to give me the cracked one. Yeah,
You're not going to sell that.
You can have my old headliner when I pull it out.
Yeah.
You can have the old headliner. I'll even sign it.
So you're going to...
There you go.
I know you love this truck, but is it going to go to Bear Jackson someday?
No. Well, I mean, if it ever gets worth something, like it maybe in 2024 when they don't sell, vehicles like that anymore, and they say this one's for a museum.
I don't know. You might want to test drive the new Cadillac Escalade, see if you like.
Well,
that.
I'm going to, I've honestly thought about it. I buy a new truck, new car. I'm going to keep that one. Because it's still great for
this
for
is my point. This is what I've been saying the whole time. Why sell vehicles? Keep them.
Yeah. That's what I do.
I know.
Then you just have to have buildings to put them in.
Yeah. We need more buildings.
That you go to in Arizona and you hope that it didn't get broken into while you've been gone. So that's what I used to worry about when I had all my cars
over
there.
The beauty of the cars in Arizona is they probably don't run and they're in pieces. So there's not a lot of theft of the car.
You can not all of them, but also when they're in pieces, somebody can come in and take all the parts. And
The ones that run, do you park them behind the ones that don't run so you can't get them out?
I have no idea. I haven't been there in so long. How would I know?
The place could be empty.
Well, I always say about my boat, I pay the insurance. I pay for my storage garage over in Havasu, and I haven't been there for 4 years. So
I thought you sold that boat.
Somebody, I should have. I know, I still have it.
Wait, this is the Hallett?
Yeah.
That thing's badass. It's fast.
Yeah, it's real fast.
I thought you sold it. Are you sure you didn't sell it?
Maybe I did. Yeah, no, I'm going to sell it.
Because otherwise you'd be paying a rent on that building.
No. It's in the building over there. I pay insurance, and I said, somebody could have stole that thing 4 years ago, and I killed Paul. I would have not a clue.
Somebody has it, and they're like, this is the best theft ever. The guy keeps paying the insurance on it and the storage. I keep putting it back.
And the registration and everything. Yeah.
He goes, I steal it every weekend. The guy doesn't know the difference.
Everybody wants to buy a really nice boat that was $200,000 originally and has fewer than 100 hours on it.
We think.
Yeah, over there, it's got 1,000 hours.
We don't know. Somebody could have been using it every weekend.
They took the good Paul Pfaff motor out and put a six-cylinder Saab motor in it.
Right? Yeah. They're like, oh, it's quiet now. It's electric. It's an electric boat. All right, I got to go home. You know what? Yeah.
You got to go walk dogs, Matt. You got to go walk dogs.
Speaking of boats, did you see that one online, the AMG boat?
Yeah, the new AMG.
Six outboard motors.
Oh, my God.
It's just five more things to
great,
break,
great
right?
Great running drive in Florida.
Think of that. Six LT1 motors on the back of your boat.
Yeah.
I mean, my boat will do 105 with one Paul Pfaff big block in it.
Yeah.
Think what it would do with six.
But these aren't small motors because the new Mercury outboards, they have a 450R.
I know.
450 horsepower.
You see nuts. Some of those ones down in Florida, and they've got five or six motors on the back.
Yeah.
Those things come on hard, man.
Yeah.
But
as you know, it's all about the prop.
Well, I was just going to say, Aaron, but that's five or six stainless props. I mean, whenever I got to buy a prop, I'm like, ugh, or have it sharpened or whatever. Or when you pull in somewhere and it hits the bottom, you hear it go, cuck, 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 and you go, ugh.
Yeah. Well, when you're pulling into a sketchy area, pull five of those engines up out of the water. And just so if you're going to screw anything up, just screw up one engine. I've been running around. I'd be the only one out there being like, oh, it's got the new cigarette AMG boat. It's got five outboards. Four have never been used.
Exactly.
It only does 27 miles an hour. It just hauls around weight.
You just rotate
fuel.
Them out.
Yeah.
Just consider one and a few spares.
Yeah.
But when you're down in the Keys, you got to have that, man. You got to go fast.
Listen, if you're running
around. It's Miami Vice.
If you're running around one of those cigarette boats, especially if you got AMG plastered on the side, you don't want to be the wuss out there doing 40 miles
an hour. Exactly.
You got to be doing 120.
It's like when I take my boat out, man, and that thing, it's like a cigarette boat. You trim out that. You trim it out once you get it up and going.
Yeah.
And you get it on
just
plane.
Floats.
You trim it up, and you're throwing a big rooster tail out. It just looks so cool. You know, you put $1,000 worth of gas in it for a weekend.
What size hallet do you have?
For
it's 27 foot.
Are you kidding me? For like 15 minutes?
No. I used to go through about $1,000 in fuel on a weekend. Fill both tanks with Avgas.
Wow.
Oh my God.
Maybe if I'm trying to sell it, I shouldn't say that. Oh, no, it's really fuel efficient.
No, it's totally fuel efficient. Yeah.
It's surprisingly economical.
It does have six brand new tires on the trailer that I put on before I put it away.
Well, they're flat spotted now.
Well, they're probably flat spotted and dry rotted because they've been sitting in the garage in Arizona for four years. That's why I said, literally, I put them on, drove the truck down and put it away. So they've got 2 miles from up the hill and they're probably worthless.
Well, I have a question for you. Do you have raccoons in Arizona? Because they'd both.
Not there. Where it's at, there's scorpions maybe. Awesome. But they gotta get up the trailer.
There's definitely insects on it. Arizona insects can get to anything. There's definitely like spiders and
tarantulas.
Because it's dark in there and they love that.
But they
and it's cooler in
but
there.
But we spray the thing. And that's another thing I pay for all
with
that.
Anti-snake repellent?
We use snake venom.
I feel like that's more of a pheromone, don't you think?
Yeah, really.
Well, you know what? You just talked me into it. When I go out there to check it out, I'll send you down into the salon to check it out, okay, and check all the cushions and everything.
There you go.
The trick is to just run in as quickly as possible. No flashlights or anything. Yeah. There's probably a family living in there.
That's another thing I paid for that I ordered mine instead of open. I ordered my boat with a salon.
Yeah.
So you walk down the stairs and you walk in. There's a bed down there.
Yeah.
And there's an ice box and a little bench to sit on and everything. And I think the only person that's ever slept down there in their life was Michael Anthony's daughter when she was like five. And, you know, it's like, yeah, it's cool, but we don't stay overnight on the boat, you know?
Did the dogs go in there and sit?
I didn't have a dog back then.
You should get a dog.
Yeah, it'll scratch up the teak floors and the gel coat on the. That's yeah. just it, man.
Why? Some whoever went down there threw up on the floor anyway.
Dude, that is the worst place to be when it's 120 degrees and choppy. You walk down in there, and oh, even with yeah. the fans going, it's like you go, I'm going to go down and get something out of the cooler. You get down there and you get up really as fast as you can, man.
Should put a vintage air unit down there.
Should. So, all right, everybody.
Totally.
Matt, where can they find us online?
We're at shiftandsteer.com. We're on iTunes. We're on podcast1.com and Spotify.
And what about YouTube?
I don't think we're on YouTube.
Okay. What about Netflix?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, that's not fun. Hey, you can find Aaron online by Googling him. Because he's Googleable. Yeah. You just,
or at theratrunnersgarage.com. I haven't updated in 2 years.
Or you can Google incessant laughter and his face comes
yeah.
up.
Thanks, Tammy. Thanks for coming in today. Next time, don't be so chatty.
I'm in a good mood today.
Henry, Toby, thanks for coming in.
Thanks, buddy.
And Matt, where can they find you?
I'm at Motorator. I'm everywhere. You can see my truck pictures up at Motorator.
And you can go to Bradley_Fanshaw, and you can check out the Circle B brand sunglasses that, if China ever opens back up, will be available. And
yeah, right on.
And I am pulling out some watches out of my safe and some good deals because some of them are sales samples, which means they were worn for a couple hours at a trade show. They're like brand new. So go check it out.
Hey, guys, if you like this show, you can check out this new little show called CarCast. It's the longest-running automotive podcast. CarCast is a twice-weekly automotive show hosted by Adam Carolla, wrestling superstar Bill Goldberg, and Matt the Motorator D'Andrea. They even wrote my name. It says D-E-E-Andrea, so I don't get it. I don't mess it up. It's the only show of its kind that explores all aspects of the automotive space. From the performance aftermarket to newer car buying and the future of automotive industry. It's the only show of its kind other than this show that we're actually doing right now. So there's the two shows of its kind. It's two, you know, people say one of one, which we
yeah.
hate. This is two of one.
Rare.
Yeah.
It's rare.
That's how rare it is. There's two shows of one. Anyway, listen to the CarCast. Be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and you know, other stuff.
You'd think you could get your own read down. You know, I mean, come on. I'm making out. I'm making out right now. Kissing. Let's kiss.
Toby's deep throating.
Doggy kisses. Doggy Jeez. Kisses.
Damn.
Oh, good.
Guys.
Dog doesn't shed though. At least.
No. At least the dogs don't shed at all. I'm covered in hair. All right.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, Aaron. Have a great
we'll be day. Back next week.
Bye.
Thanks, Aaron.
If you like this show, also listen to Man Seeks Adventure and Dixon's Wild Ride. You can find Man Seeks Adventure at manseeksadventure.com.
Get ultimate protection and durability for your painting project at Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boy's DuraClean Interior Paint and Primer in 1 offers Stay Clean technology, making your home stay beautiful and clean longer. And with Dutch Boy's easy opening smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. Save big money on Dutch Boy paints and head into Menards to get your paint project started today.
Save big money at Menards.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist, you'll want to invite everyone over. From book club to reality TV watch parties, even the in-laws.
It smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is infused with 2 times more essential oil versus regular Airwick Essential Mist for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is perfectly portable and effortlessly easy. The way fragrance should be. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.